Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are countless gifts that children give to us, and one of them is the gift of their imaginations. Children, I think, through their imaginations, help us to think and dream and live in ways that are beyond our imaginations. As we grow up and we become older, other things occupy spaces in our minds and our hearts where once our imaginations ran free. And I think they help remind us of that. I recently read a prayer from an Old Testament scholar named Walter Brueggemann that said, "O God, break open our imaginations that we might see a world decisively shaped by your love." O God, break open our imaginations that we might see a world decisively shaped by your love. Sometimes it takes our imaginations to see God and God's love in the world around us. God and God's love are always in the world around us, but it's not always easy to see. Thankfully, Scripture is full of images and metaphors, word pictures, that can stir up our imaginations and help us to see. So as we ask God to break open our imaginations to see the ways that God dwells with us now, my hope is that we will see far more ways that God's love is shaping us and the world around us. We sometimes need our imaginations to see God in the world around us, because God doesn't always come to us and to the world according to our expectations. The truth is that God comes to us in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. Sometimes we can get so accustomed to the image of God that we are most comfortable with, or the image of God that we prefer, or sometimes we stick to just a couple of these word pictures of God. But I think this is to our own detriment, because God is so much bigger than just one or two metaphors. God is just so much bigger than we can even begin to imagine. Scripture is full of metaphors and images, and I think if we ask God to break open our imaginations so that we can explore more images of God, I believe that God will hear that prayer and answer it. So let's look at one of those images presented for us today in the gospel. First, I need to confess to you that I am a city girl. I was born and raised in the city, quite far away from any barnyard. I'm much more comfortable navigating the train and bus map of Chicago than I am navigating my way around a barnyard. So I have very limited firsthand knowledge and experience of God as a hen. I do know enough, however, to know that a hen is a female chicken. So maybe I can get a couple points for that, huh? Okay. Remember, I'm also a vegetarian, so talking about chicken is a little bit foreign in that way too, but this week I did some research because I wanted to better understand what Jesus might have meant when he likened himself to a hen in this passage from Luke. One of the things that I found most interesting is that a hen makes a bunch of different clucking noises. And fear not, I'm not going to replicate them for you this morning. But there is one call that signals danger. And immediately and instinctually, it prompts her chicks to race to their mother, probably clumsily tripping over themselves, feathers flying as they scramble. It's a really sweet image, this blur of fluff as the cute chicks try to get to their mama. But it's not what happens in the passage in Luke. Listen to Jesus' words. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, a city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. It's a striking image, a mother hen clucking out, calling and inviting and waiting for her chicks to come to her, to be gathered together under her wings. And we don't come. How often has this been true of us, that we don't come? We are not willing to come and be gathered under our mother hen's wings. Still, our mother hen calls to us and invites us and waits for us to be gathered under her wings. Perhaps the reason that we are not willing is because we are waiting for a different kind of God, a God with a surer security than a mother hen. Perhaps we want a different kind of God, one with a different kind of strength and protection than a mother hen can provide. Maybe we are waiting more for someone like a fox, like King Herod in this story, whose power and cunning are far more seductive than a mother hen. We'd rather have a God who demonstrates worldly power, who demonstrates worldly strength. But perhaps what we need most is not a fox-like God who wields his power with sly intelligence and sharp teeth, but a hen who calls to us with longing and insistence, her wings held out patiently and courageously they are held open. Perhaps what we need the most is a mother hen who invites us into belonging, who offers us and all people welcome, gathers us together. A mother hen who draws us in under her bony, feathery arms, which are wide open. A mother hen who calls us home, who is waiting for us to come. I find it a bit shocking and startling that of all the birds that Jesus might have identified himself with, he picked a chicken. Debbie Blue, a Lutheran pastor up in Minnesota, wrote a book on biblical birds, and she too agrees that of all of the birds, maybe Jesus could have picked something a little more majestic or a little more dazzling, certainly a little more elegant than a chicken. Right, this image of a mother hen is a loving image, but it's not particularly dignified. Chickens, when they are alive, are dirty. They're kind of dumb. They're fairly defenseless from predators. They're smelly. They're loud. And chickens, when they're dead, are the birds that we see sliced up and gathered by body part and packaged in styrofoam sitting on the shelves at the Food Lion. Why? Why of all of the birds would Jesus choose to identify himself as a chicken? It almost feels a little sacrilegious, don't you think? Why not something majestic like an eagle? Or something a little more pure like a dove or a sweet singing lark? Or even something nice and kind of normal, like a mallard duck. All of these would have been much better choices. But Jesus identified himself as a chicken, a mother hen. The chicken was no impressive animal in Jesus' day, just like it is now. They are still beady-eyed and boisterous. And I think for many of us, this image has only gotten worse in our time, primarily because of the horrendous industry that surrounds these birds. This image for us modern hearers may bring to mind the poultry processing in the U.S., where billions of chickens are crammed one on top of another in compact crates, where they're pumped with antibiotics. While alive, they are defeathered and hung by their feet and spun around on a conveyor belt, and then they are prematurely slaughtered to meet the insatiable demand of consumers. Why? Why did Jesus choose to identify himself as a chicken? It was a scandalous metaphor, and it's still a scandalous metaphor. But think about it, Jesus is quite scandalous. He's scandalous in how he came to us. God in Jesus became a human. God gave up any amount of dignity and majesty and purity and power and showed up in the backwater town of Bethlehem to a teen mom as a helpless baby, born in a barnyard scene. He was placed in a feeding trough, which was probably filled with smelly hay. But Jesus is full of scandal, especially in the Gospel of Luke. It is to the shepherds that the good news of Jesus' birth is first announced. This would have been shocking and scandalous. Shepherds in that time were not nice and gentle and respectable figures. Shepherds represented those on the fringe, those on the margins of society. Yet it is to the shepherds that God chose to reveal God's birth in Christ first. A significant part of who Jesus is and Jesus' mission in the world was to bring those who are cast out close to the heart of God, to raise up those who are beaten down, to bring those who are on the extremities of the social order close to the heart of God. This is why in Luke, a peasant girl sings a song of revolution in the Savior's coming. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his servant. God lifts up the lowly and scatters the proud. Think also about the scandalous prodigal son who is welcomed home by a scandalous parent whose compassion is extravagant and whose love is reckless. Jesus is scandalous. He comes to us in the flesh. He gets down on the ground with us. He meets us right in the middle of our mess. He meets us in ways that we often think are impure and dirty and unfit for him. So maybe this is a really good metaphor and word picture for us in this season of Lent, when we are knee deep in remembering the scandalous life that Jesus led. A life that was so scandalous that it angered and infuriated the powers that be of his time so much so that they executed him. We are journeying along with Jesus to a scandalous cross and an even more scandalous empty tomb. So now that I think about it, perhaps there is no better image for us to think about as it relates to God. Perhaps there is no better image to remind us and prepare us for our Lenten journey than a chicken. Amen.